to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back. Sometimes it's one step forward, two steps back. The struggle of life. And it is overwhelming sometimes. Just a little metaphor for life and what happened with me and automobiles in the last week. And sometimes we struggle so much. You know, sometimes we think we're the only ones that are struggling. And I got to thinking about Daniel, the prophet Daniel, this last week. And I thought, man, there's a man that, as a teenager, he was taken and enslaved and marched off to a foreign country with pagan gods and in chains and marched some 800 miles, never to see his homeland again. Never again. He wrote the book of Daniel over a space of about 70 years. Daniel lived well into his 80s, probably his 90s, but he never saw the homeland again. And yet I find in Daniel a spiritual giant that stood in a pagan land and stood for God. And here's the best part. Knew and found the blessings of God even in the land of Babylon. And here we are in the world today. And we're in Babylon. We're here. And we're marching through the land as pilgrims. And really, this isn't our home. And we may never rest until we get home to heaven via death. And that, by the way, that's when Daniel saw home. It was via death. And yet God used him to write these 12 chapters, eschatology, outlines like you would not believe of the last days. God revealed to him things that, some of the things that he didn't even understand what he was seeing, but he wrote it down. And one of the verses says, write it in a book and seal it up until the last days. And God just used Daniel in a great way. Daniel is no different than you or I. The lion's den. The fiery furnaces. That was the other three. Whatever struggles you're experiencing in life, Daniel was there first. Daniel's not our Messiah. Daniel was just a prophet of God. But Daniel lived in a empire that was filled with sins, the land of two rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. That's what the word Shinar means. Let me read it. Verses 1 and 2 says, and in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. It was a one-year siege. I mean, they besieged the city. God was using Babylon, the superpower of the world of that day, to chastise his people, to get his people to come back to him. God knew what he was doing in all of this that was going on. Verse 2 says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Daniel's standing was he was a child of God in a corrupt and wicked and evil land. Now there's a parallel. We are the church of Jesus Christ, individual believers, in a land of evil, in a land of corruption, and the land that is leaving God at breakneck speed. I could be very a doomsday prophet this morning, but that's not the message. Daniel was in a land just like that, and he stood for God. His standing, verse 3 says, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed, and of the princes. Children in whom was no blemish. This was the practice of the Babylonians. They would overrun an empire, and they would take the best and the brightest among the young people and bring them back and acclimate them to become Babylonians. and they would use them to build their culture. So he takes the Hebrews, the children of God, the king gives the command, and brings them back to Babylon, trying to turn them into Babylonians. And I'm sure some of them did give in and become Babylonians, but not Daniel. And I know the pressure for compromise is everywhere. It's everywhere. But you could be just like Daniel. Look at verse 4. Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Where did they get those skills? They got them from God. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy and chapter 1, along about verse 12, Paul spoke of himself and he said, God has enabled me in my standing. If you're here and you're blood-bought and you are born again and you belong to Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit has gifted you in certain areas. And you can use those gifts in the context of the New Testament local church, because that's God's plan, in these days of darkness, just like Babylon, in these days where it's getting darker, and you can shine bright and you can stand tall for the glory of God, just like Daniel did, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego too as well. Stood tall for the glory of God. We get to do this. This is our opportunity. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians and chapter 1. Turn quickly. We don't have a lot of time. Ephesians and chapter 1. I wasn't going to spend a lot of time here. I'm not going to do that. I'm blessed. That's what Ephesians chapter 1 tells me. I am blessed. I'm a saint of God, a holy one of God, in my standing. In my standing. Because I already belong to Jesus. My sins are already forgiven. I am under the blood. I'm a child of God. I am a child of the King. I'm undeserving. And I don't deserve a lick of it. But that's my standing. I'm already a saint of God. I can prove that from the Bible. We don't have time to do that here this morning. Anybody who is born again, genuinely born again, not just parroting words, not just using words, but genuinely born again, they are a saint of God. The Bible tells me in verse 4 that I'm chosen. The Bible tells me in verse 6 that I'm accepted. The Bible tells me in verse 11, I have obtained an inheritance. I have all of this, and I'm sealed, verse 13, by the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful promise. I have a New Testament promises as far as being a child of God. This morning, please, please, please. I know it's a world of evil. I know in every direction you look, it's evil. Well, you know what I'm finding? I've been finding the truth the last several months. It's easier and easier to witness and tell people about Christ. There are so many people just wanting to know. Man, is there anything that's real anymore? Are there any absolutes anymore? You tell me your sins are forgiven. You seem like you've got some peace that I don't have. People are hungry for the truth. And the last week, I witnessed to a lifeguard. I witnessed to a UPS driver. I witnessed to a man at Walmart. People are waiting, and they listen to the gospel. They want to get born again. We've got to explain it. The darker the night, the brighter the light. Now, Daniel's standing was real. It was powerful. You say, not like today. Are you kidding me? They threw Daniel in the lion's den. You ain't never been thrown in a lion's den. Ferocious lions. They were so hungry that when Daniel's enemies were thrown into that same lion's den, their bodies didn't even hit the ground. The lions caught them in the air. These lions were starving to death. That's the way the Babylonians did it. But they didn't touch the man of God. The lions of the world are hungry and would love to devour you, but they can do nothing to you except they get God the Father's permission first. Daniel's standing was real and it was true, and I wouldn't trade places with the richest man on earth that's out of the will of God. So I can think of some Christians that are rich. Well, if I could have both, that'd be wonderful. But I wouldn't trade places with anyone on earth and trade what I have in Jesus Christ. Not a word. The struggle was real. Let's read on. Look at verse 6. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, and for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and Azariah Abednego. They did all they could to change these young men. The struggle was real. The name change was just the surface. By the way, Daniel means God is my judge. The name he was given by the Babylonians was Bel's. Bel was a false god, Bel's treasurer. Hananiah, God has favored me. Shadrach, the name he was given, the sun god's messenger. Mishael, image of God. Meshach, guest of Shach. These are all false gods. Azariah, Jehovah is my help. Abednego, servant of Nebo. They even called them with pagan names. They could affect all they could on the outside, but they couldn't change the inside. You know, if this message doesn't go anywhere else other than there this morning, boy, I trust you'll get that. Let me say just a few more things, and I want to get to that as quickly as I can. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And God who will with the temptation, God who is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way for you to escape. You understand all the temptation to do wrong and all the temptation to compromise. You have Jesus Christ. You can overwhelm evil. You can not only overcome it, you are more than conquerors. You can overwhelm the wicked tide that you're swimming against. You can be a Daniel, a modern day Daniel in the year 2015. You say, oh, none of my friends are doing that. That's the whole point. God is looking for people that he can build into spiritual giants. And Daniel became that giant. For over 70 years, he lived among the Babylonians. And God used him and used him mightily. From the sunny banks of sweet deliverance to the crystal sea in heaven. We are to stand for God at every opportunity. Don't give me that I'm all weighed down and overcome with burden. Get your eyes on Christ. Man, get back in the Bible. That's the answer. Get back where you're studying again. And I think, they had teenagers out there this last week, 94, 95 teenagers. I don't know what the exact number was. And some of these young people just overwhelmed with, I'm serious, it took them 2 days to get away from cell phones. You know, it's just, that wickedness is everywhere. I was able to talk with some of them. Some of them from very bad situations. And I was reminded of this, and I shared it in Sunday school. The issues of this generation, it's our issues times two, maybe times 10. We gave them those issues. We pointed their feet in that direction. You can say anything you want to say. Dr. Ololo used to say it this way. You can tell me what you want to tell me, but whatever direction your feet are pointed in, that's where you're going. You know, we can tell the present generation, don't do this and don't do that and do that, but whatever you're living, man, that's where they're going. I couldn't help but think of a lady, and you talk about, I've been in this ministry here for 34 years, so I have seen it all. And I remember a lady bringing her girls to this church, sending them out to Canaan land. I remember her saying this. The reason I'm sending them to Canaan land is you have high standards. And I'm tired of what's going on in my church. And don't even try to guess who it is. But I remember her girls getting right with God. And going and growing and being soul winners. You know who took them back to the world? And they're in the world now. You know who took them back? Their mom. She wanted that evil. She took them back. And I'm thinking, boy, is that a metaphor that's lived out over and over and over again in the year 2015? We all talk about how wicked this generation is. There's good kids in this generation. They need some direction. They need some help. They need to hear the word of God. This generation doesn't have any real heroes. Think about that. Who is this generation's heroes that are real heroes? I don't mean worldly people. I mean real heroes. They don't have them unless it's dad or unless it's mom or maybe some preacher. Who are the heroes? We as a people of God, we need to point them to Christ. I want to say this because it's a hot day. I try not to preach it all the time. I haven't preached it. In fact, this summer, I kind of let up on it a little bit. I just kind of pulled in the reins and just hoping parents and but it's amazing to me, it just doesn't happen, and you give people an inch and they take a mile, and I'm not a dictator, and you're the man of your house, and you be the man of your house. And I respect you for that, but man, girls, don't start dressing immodest. You know better? Don't have a goal in life to be the temptress. Don't keep wearing tighter and tighter clothing that leaves nothing to the imagination of men. Watch the dresses, the hemline that keeps getting shorter and shorter. I know how it works. Well, I know the knee is safe, but I'll wear it to here. Oh, so-and-so is wearing it. Oh, so I'm going to move it up to here. It doesn't end. It doesn't end. And before long, you're at the beach. And before long, you're dressing in a way that doesn't honor God. I guess I would tell the men, raise your young men and raise your young men, your young ladies, to the glory of God. Don't coast. Don't coast. And I say that with a good attitude. Just put an amen to it. I got a real good attitude about it. I don't want you to get hurt. And I don't want you to hurt other people. I would say this, Dad. If your young people wear something that is immodest, and you see them wearing it to church, why do they even have it in their closet? Right. Why is it there? Okay, amen? Amen? Amen, okay, that's it. All right, let's get back to Daniel now. Daniel stood true. Daniel stands tall. But the struggle of life is real. It's real. We come to the solution. Verse 5 is the struggle. They even changed their names. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian culture was doing everything it could to mold these young men into Babylonians. But they wouldn't bend. Fiery furnace? Didn't matter. Look at chapter 3. I just want to read. Oh. Chapter 3 and verse 17, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace because they're three teenage boys that have a backbone and stand for God, even if their peers aren't. They're going to stand for God. They're getting ready to be thrown in the fiery furnace. The king says, is it true? He loved these boys. They said, it's true. We won't bend the knee to an idol. Verse 17 says, is your God able to deliver? Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. I love the next three words. But if not. These three young men were saying, if we burn, we burn. God's able to deliver us, but if he chooses not, we're martyrs. We burn. I used to say that the day may be coming when we will be martyred for the cause of Christ. And in my mind, back of my mind, I'm thinking, but probably not. I don't think that way anymore. Not as fast as things are changing. The solution is the solution that Daniel made. Go back again to chapter 1. Verse 8. Daniel was a young man of conviction and a young man of courage. And he decided ahead of time what he was going to do when the 11th hour came. You can't just be Pollyanna and kind of bounce through life and whatever comes my way. This commitment is making decisions that when you come under pressure, the choice has already been made. And that's what Daniel did. He determined in his heart, no matter what the king called him, no matter what he was asked to do, drink the king's wine and eat all the pork and bacon and everything that was put in front of him, no matter what. He had determined ahead of time that he was going to stand for God. If you're a 13-year-old teenager, if you're an 11-year-old girl, if you're a 10-year-old young man, if you're a 40-year-old man, you would do well to determine right now, I'm going to serve God no matter what pressure is brought upon me. And actually determine those different situations. Verse 8 says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I don't want to read all of the rest of the chapter. I'll reread everything that Pastor Josh has already read. Daniel had a standing. He was a child of God. He knew what the struggle was. They had determined to make him compromise again and again. He lived through Nebuchadnezzar, and he lived through Belshazzar's reign, and he lived through Darius, and he lived through all these different men, all these different empires, and he stood for God all along the way. And it was like same thing, just the second verse. Man, I got to go through this whole thing all over again with another king. But God had blessed Daniel from a young man to an old man because he determined in his heart, he purposed in his heart, he was going to do right and not bring reproach upon the Lord God Jehovah. It would be good for you to come to the altar and say, God, I'm not going to smoke. I have no temptation to smoke right now, but when the time comes, it'd be good for 7-year-old boys to come and say, I'm not going to smoke that filthy cigarette. I'll never put liquor to my lips. Never, ever, ever. I'll never taste it. Determine it ahead of time. Man, I'm not going to get caught up in immorality. By the way, you listen to the world's music. You're on your way, man. It's a greased slide is what it is. And music is such a powerful medium. I want to go in so many different directions this morning. The devil uses it. He was good with music. You read that in Ezekiel. By the way, powerful medium. Spirit medium. Okay. It's every direction. They're trying to mold Daniel into what he did not want to be, so he determined in his heart. The solution was, he determined in his heart. Verses 11 through 13, you're going to have to read it on your own. I'm sorry. He trusted God. He trusted God even when the times got tough, and he tested. He was allowed God to work in his life. And then God, as a result, and he won the loss. Look at chapter 12 and verse 3. Daniel in chapter 12 and verse 3. The whole book of Daniel, a message of eschatology, a message of the last days, powerful visions, powerful dreams, angelic messages that the prophet Daniel received from heaven. Daniel's eyes were opened to so much. Look what it says in verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Even here in this major prophet, even here in this little book in the Old Testament, it's about soul winning. It's about bringing others to Jesus Christ. It's about living right. It's about being that testimony. And as a result, Daniel experienced great success. Go back to verse 17 of chapter 1. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge. God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions. And at the end of the days that the king had said he would bring them in, this is 3 years later, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. He visited with them. He picked their brain. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. None. They were the greatest. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. These teenage boys were 10 times better at every level than his best astrologers, than his best wise men. God magnified them. The Apostle Paul said, God has enabled me. Yes, even in the land of Babylon, you can know great blessing of God if you'll just determine to live for God like these young Hebrew boys did. And God bless them. We have great opportunities in front of us. Canaan land is clearing off a hilltop right now in the state of Michigan and making an impact on the youth of the state of Michigan. And I'll tell you what I feel. It's been a great year, and I feel like it's just the beginning. And I think next year will be even greater. It's a major ministry. It's just one of our ministries. But I'm telling you, we're not giving up on the next generation. There are young people that are worth salvaging. And the pressure for them to sin is so great. You remember what it was like when you were a teenager? How many people are over 50? Raise your hand. Okay, raise your hand right now. Keep it up. If the pressures were great to sin when you were a teenager, and you're over 50. Man, that was way back in the... Man, times that by 10. There's nothing new. It's all the same stuff. But now the teenagers never get away from it. That's the sad part. It's there all of the time. And what's even worse is this generation bringing them down the primrose path, pointing them to it. Say, oh, love Jesus, but the feet are pointed to the world. That's where they're going. That's where they're headed. As a people of God, there's room for some Daniels today in this culture. There's room for some giants, spiritual giants. God will bless. There's a lot of verses we could go to end this. Daniel's standing was real. He was a child of God. His struggle, it was real. He dealt with sin, faced it head on, faced death, and still chose right. The solution was simple. He predetermined to serve God. Young people do that. Adults do that. And then he trusted God. He won the lost. Success, God blessed him. He was enabled. Look at, I think it's chapter 2, verse 46. I'll read this in closing. You say, I'm afraid that if I stand up for God, God's just going to let me go. I'm afraid God's going to push me out on a limb and he's going to saw the limb off and I'm going to fall into oblivion. That's not the God of the Bible. I'm telling you, if you'll try God, if you'll really try God, teenager, if you'll really get with God, adult, young man, young lady, old man, old lady, if you'll really do it, God will bless you. Look at here, verse 46, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal the secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and made him many great gifts and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors and over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat at the gate of the king. If you'll just try God, you'll find out he's able to deliver.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.